Dr. Pompa here with one of actually my very, very good friends who, if I threw a, well, I guess I'd have to drive a golf ball, but I could definitely hit his house. We actually live in the same neighborhood, but that's a new thing because Dr. Chris Zeno just moved to Park City, Utah, and he is in fact my neighbor. So Chris and his wife, Whitney, are very good friends of ours. And he is a hero in my world. And you're going to hear more on this show why, how, I should say, you can tap into your inner hero because we all have one. And when we don't understand it, we don't see it. We even get trapped in a false identity. It can affect our life, even our health. We've got a lot to talk about on this show, but this is a definite show that you're going to go from here to here because that's Chris's expert. Chris, look, you've been on the show before, so welcome to the show, but this is your second show that you've done on. So welcome, Chris.
Thanks so much, Dan. I appreciate you.
And Dr. Chris Zeno is a chiropractor. And I don't want to say it in a negative way to any chiropractor, but I want to say more than a chiropractor in the sense that, you know, he has done, he's been one of the most, if not most successful chiropractors on the planet, really. He really has been, and he's still doing chiropractic care, but he's moved beyond it in the sense of really mindset. And this has become an area that he's training doctors around the country, as well as folks like you that are also listening. So we're going to talk more about that. But Chris, many people maybe didn't see the last show that I did. We talked about Mr. Universe, which you were Mr. Natural Universe. Yeah, give me those guns, man. There you go. And I won't make him take his shirt off or anything. But by the way, those arms right there are literally the size of my thighs. That means I have pretty damn big thighs. But I'm telling you, the guy is a monster.
I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult, Dan.
That's a compliment, bro.
All that fasting.
Yeah. But anyways, you know, so Chris has a lot to share here. But Chris, tell people your story because they may not have tuned in. And I said you were Mr. Natural Universe right in the past, and you've done some amazing things. But you know what? Really what drove you, why you're sitting in front of me right now is because you had your own story. You know, and recently I was able to sit down and even talk to your mom over dinner about your story. And you know, it really just, you know, it really reshook me of everything you and your family have been through. So tell a little bit about that for those who haven't heard it.
1998, won Mr. America. So let's set up the picture here. So look good, feel good, you know, cover on the magazines, everything's great. And I was the personal trainer. I worked for some of the Orlando Magic players and Universal Studios Florida. I worked on the set with Hercules and Xena Warrior Princess, if you guys remember those shows. They would film in New Zealand and do also parts of Universal Studios Florida. Internet was getting big, so I started writing for internet and doing online magazines, cover magazines. So I was jamming. It was just a great just entrepreneurship ride. 26, met Whitney, my wife, and we got married. Then 6 months into our marriage, started going to the bathroom a lot. She started getting worse and worse. I'm bleeding. Then I'm starting to bleed every time I go to the bathroom. And that's getting 10, 15 times a day. And then I play Google MD and I go online and I type in blood and stool and it says cancer. And I'm thinking, man, I lost my dad at 21 of cancer. My grandfather, I never met due to cancer. And I just hit escape. You know, I was just like in denial, forget it, not going to think about it, and hit it from everybody. But when you're bleeding 15 times a day, getting worse and worse, and then I lose my bowels in public at a TJ Maxx because the bathrooms were locked and I couldn't hold my bowels anymore. And that was the day I found out I had an incurable terminal disease called ulcerative colitis, autoimmune disease. And I was put on heavy drugs like prednisone, another drug that gave me hepatitis. That's how harsh the drug was. I had medically induced hepatitis, ulcerative colitis, worse and worse. Went to Dallas, Texas, to the best in the world, $1 billion facility. They put me on low-dose chemo, Remicade infusions, interferon shots, 3 different organ rejection medications. So my immune system was shot. I had to wear a mask everywhere I went. Nothing worked. 230 pounds all the way down to 158 pounds in about 4 months. The only option was surgery that would leave me, I was pretty sterile. I would be 4 grand worth of drugs for the rest of my life. Still an 8% chance of cancer, multiple surgeries after that. We had about $250,000 in debt up to this point. And that was the only option they had. And I was legit. Like, meaning like I took the drugs when they told me to. I was disciplined.
Oh yeah, you're disciplined, man.
Yeah. And so that was it. So I flew home to see my mom, who already lost two sons. I had a brother who died of a freak accident. And then I had a brother died of a heroin overdose that my mom found. She found him and she lost my dad. So this is a woman who lost like everything in her life. And this is son number three that's happening. Yeah. And then I went home to see my mom, and all the prayer emails that went out, everybody's, hey, hope the surgery goes well, da da da. And then my anatomy teacher from 10th grade emailed my mom, says, listen, I want to see Chris when he gets home. So I fly home, I'm wearing the mask, and there's Dr. Baum, and he's like, listen, I need you to go see my doctor. He's a corrective care chiropractor. It'll change your life.
Now what?
I was so absurd, dude. It's like, what's a dude who taped my ankles up and stretched my hamstrings, because that's all I thought chiropractic was, going to do anything for an incurable, like, ridiculous. Like, there was just no connection.
Yeah.
And I said, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. But I tried everything. And I did. I tried everything.
Yeah, I'm sure. And
in the journey, if you're listening to this, right, whether you be a doctor, whether you're a patient listening to this now, and you're going through something, and it's tough, there's always people, and it might be this podcast, that they come into your life, and it might be for a day, a week, or a lifetime. They come into your life, and they may say something that shifts your perspective that could change everything.
Right.
So my anatomy teacher says, no, you didn't try everything. He goes, because if you tried everything, you would have had your health.
Hmm.
And man, did he woke me up out of a solid belief that I did it all. And I'm like, oh my God, he's right. Hmm. I didn't try everything. So I went to see this guy, Dr. Roger Romano, right? Didn't you know that? You know Roger. Yep. And he sent me down and he taught me everything we know. Like, we all knew, we all took the test in biology. Like, your brain controls everything. Yes, there's a spine and spinal cord. Yeah, yeah, 100% sense. And when I went back and I looked at my examinations, he took pictures of my spine that no one did. And my spine, my lower spine, that all those nerve roots that go to the organs, it was destroyed. It was trashed, but I never had pain. And this first bone underneath your skull that protects your brain stem, there was 50% pressure on that. And that goes to all your autonomic nervous system. And it was, I saw blind spots that I never knew about. And I realized in the moment, health was now how I looked or how I felt. Because, right, we miss cancer and heart disease because we go on how we look or feel.
Right.
And I saw the blind spot, and that was it. But here's another thing. Here's another person in my life, Dan, that said something that shifted my perspective. And I told him, okay, listen, when am I going to get better? Because if you're listening to this right now and you have anything going on, like, and Dan, when you were not going through a good time, all you wanted to do was be what?
Well.
I want to be well. I don't care. When am I going to get better? Because all I was given by doctors is false expectations. Once we give you this drug, oh no, no, okay, we'll switch this drug. Oh no, 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 okay. On down the line, baiting me. But once we take out your colon, so I'm like, dude, when am I gonna get better?
Right.
And this is what he said. He goes, as long as there's interference in your nervous system that controls all function, your body is not in the environment to be able to heal itself. Right. And watch how he puts the responsibility on me. He goes, but when you choose to take care of your problem that you have that's affecting your life, then your body will be able to be in the environment to be able to heal itself once again. He goes, but the day and the hour you're asking me, he's like, that's not between me. He goes, that's between you, your body, and God.
Yeah.
And he goes, but I'll tell you what, you will get well if you don't quit on yourself.
Yeah.
And it was the most honest answer anybody gave me. And I'm so glad he set it up, because how many people on this line, you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? I've been listening to this podcast for 2 months and I'm not any better. Like, you know, like, I'm going to give it 1 month. I'm going to try it for 2 months. Like, we put this expectation. I'm like, where'd you get 1 month out of? Well, I feel like 1 month is enough time, work, and money that I should see something, right? Like, we put these false expectations. So, you know, this trying it, if you try something, you're surely to fail on that. So for me, and here's another thing. When you start healing the body, you will still see the manifestation of this experience, like I call it, or a disease process. So I'm bleeding blood every single day. And even though I'm correcting my spine and correcting the cause, 1 week, blood, 2 weeks, blood. So it's very, I know it's difficult in the reality to say, right, I still see the manifestation of what I don't want. And then you start to get doubt. Is this working? Oh my, you know, like, you start getting nervous. But then, you know, 3 months later, I'm off half the drugs. And then 5 months later, I'm off all the drugs. And then 7 months later, all the blood had stopped and my body healed itself from an incurable terminal autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis. And that was 16 years ago.
Yeah. You know, and it's about removing the interference. I hope everybody hears that. And we preach on that on this show. Physical.
And Dan, it's in And remember, what Dr. Pompa said was right. It's about removing the interference, and there's multiple avenues of interference. So chiropractic, for me, the nervous system, that is where I saw a blind spot of interference. But like Dr. Dan talked about, there's toxicity. I mean, Dr. Dan is an expert on all the blind spots and interferences that we don't necessarily feel, but are building up in our bodies, causing disease. And then we think we're a victim, or we had bad luck or bad genes. So interference is the key.
You know, I just had a conversation with a client, right? And it was that very conversation. You know, many doctors giving many different supplements. I mean, she went from the meds to the supplements. And, you know, I said, look, you know, it's about not adding another pill, vitamin, although those things can be necessary, but you still haven't been upstream and found the causative factor. And any time I see an incurable or a chronic disease and someone still doesn't feel well, I know there's something still upstream, physical, chemical, emotional, right? Subluxation, as you talked about, it's up there. And the only way to get well is to remove it. All right, let's shift gears, because that's your story, man. That's why both of us are here, man, because we removed the interference, no doubt, right? We got better. You know, that alone encourages everybody. But, you know, I'm very selective, Chris, even the clients or the doctors that I take on to coach, because there's something about identifying with an illness. There's something about identifying with where you are in your life that I feel I can't help them. It's taken me, I've done this for almost 20 years. You know, it's taken me a while to realize that I can't help everyone. Boy, when I came out of school, man, I thought I was just going to help the world. And, you know, all I needed to do is convince somebody or make them do what I do. Yeah. It's not the case. You know, I learned that even in my own family, you know, but I'm a fixer, man. You know, and it's like, dang it, if you just do this. But I learned that, you know, some people are stuck in a certain identity. And talk about what you're doing now, right? You call your program, you know, the Hero Program. Talk about that. And it dials into exactly what I just talked about. So help them.
Yeah. The I Am Hero Project, I think it's Dan. And this will talk to the doctors and the patients right here. So, you know, in 2005, when I went through this experience, right, then I'm like, it was an unknown. Like, Dr. Dan, everybody, if you're listening right now, even the doctors, your stories to get where you are, like, we never planned this. Dr. Dan never planned on getting heavy metal toxicity. I never planned of getting ulcerative. Like, we didn't plan it, but it's what made us. And so it was an unknown that we never planned, but the unknown drove me from this into, okay, I know what health is. And yes, now I must become a chiropractor because this is clearly my purpose. So it's where you feel called or chosen to do. So we opened up our practice in 2005. Last 12, 13 years, became the largest clinic in the history of my entire profession, helping over 17,000 patients and affecting hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people around the world with helping other doctors. And so, Dr. Dan, this is what happened. So things are doing good. I'm like living this purpose. Everything's going well. And I'm checking off the boxes. So docs or even people listening right now, I checked off the box, right? You know, I married, check. Healthy kids, check. Got my health, check. Financial security, check. Time to do what I want, check. Like, so it's like all there. I checked off all the boxes, but now, like, there's this like thing inside me where it's a silent conversation I'm having. I'm feeling a little depressed. I'm feeling unfulfilled. I'm feeling numb. I'm feeling disengaged. I'm thinking, well, maybe is this a midlife crisis? You know, I'm 39. Did I peak like a boxer? You know, like, because my practice was not, it was kind of coming down a little bit because I was like, I was comfortable. I was getting civilized, right? But no one knew this. It was, again, I was keeping this side. And it's funny how I'm just realizing now when I'm talking to you, Dr. Dan, I mean, that's kind of like my MO a little bit. Like when I was sick, I didn't tell anybody. So I realized like now I was going through this like pain on the inside and I just didn't want to tell anybody. But you can't hide it. Like you're becoming disengaged and numb with my patients. I'm becoming disengaged and numb at home. And there was the day that your kids pointed out to you. I'm sitting in my office, Dr. Dan, and in the other room, I hear Justice, my son, my 11-year-old now, he goes, Mommy, he goes, what happened to Daddy? But listen, if you're listening right now and you can't see my face, it's like your kids know.
Yeah.
And they sensed the pain and they knew something was wrong and I couldn't hide it anymore. And so like in that moment, I realized, I kept on asking my question, why am I doing this? And, you know, we could sit here, Dr. Dan, and say, well, we want to help people. Yes, of course. You know, we want to see people live their potential. Yes. But my deeper why, my deeper truth, or who I was it, I couldn't really nail it until one day I realized that I just wanted to be admired for achieving great things and contributing to the world in a way it's never seen before. That's what I wanted. And that was the truth. And I don't care if it sounds selfish, because it's the only thing that really softened those calluses. And Dr. Dan, like working with patients, I will tell you, when you're a doctor, we take every patient interaction personally.
We do.
Like, I can't serve and give my whole life to see someone get better and not, and I can't care and not care at the same time. So, you know, Dr. Dan, through, especially with chiropractic and teaching the message, it's like your heart gets calloused because I allow it to from patients, because I would, you know, you would see them get help and then you would see them go back to the same death equation that got them there in the first place. And you know what? It would sting. It would hurt. It was like, ah, did I help them? So I realized, like, you know, that's always what I wanted, but I had this cow. So I looked at the definitions of admired and achievement and contribution. And on my phone, I'm doing, and then I see like this word comes out, this definition of hero. Like, oh yeah, hero. And I looked into that. It's a hero is one who is admired and idealized for contribution, amazing achievement, courage, and nobility. And I'm like, oh my God, I go, that's a great purpose statement. You know, that's what I would love to do. And then I was remembered and reminded that all of us have a theme. Looking back in our lives, you'll see a theme that was always there that you really didn't notice. So looking back, it reminded me, well, wait a second. I was a kid in the superhero pajamas, or like my son, he's always in superhero pajamas. And I worked out to be strong, feel like a hero and look like a hero, and winning Mr. America, Mr. Universe. And, you know, we beat the life-threatening terminal disease, beat that to later on become a doctor to go save lives. So here, if you're a doctor on here, you know, I had the achievements, right? I had the contributions to the public. Mm. But one thing I didn't have, Dr. Dan, was I didn't have the courage to really allow myself to truly become who I was really deeply created to be.
Right.
And I realized I had taken down a secret identity. So even though I looked successful on the outside and had the Lamborghini which all the blessings, but I had taken on a secret identity. It was just a less than watered down version of our truth, because I found my identity in my job as a doctor.
Right.
And not in who I was created and destined to be. And so for me to extend the reach and contribute to the world and never see before, even outside the health and wellness field, it meant that I'd leave the comfort zone of what I knew I was good at. Right. So if I left that zone, Dr. Dan, I got scared. I shrunk and I mourned, and I realized that when you realize you're living half your life or half your potential, the other half of your potential in life will torment you. And if you're listening right now, you're really not depressed and you're not numb and you're not burnt out. I found I was just grieving my potential. I was grieving who I was really created to be. And in that moment, I decided to create the I Am Hero project. Dr. Dan, you were there when we were in the kitchen. I was crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was like,
I watched its birth. I really did.
Like when you're going through life, if you guys are listening, there's never an ending. Meaning like you perceive there's an end of a relationship or an end of your health or an end of something, a career. There's never an end. It's an evolving. So Dr. Dan, I felt like there was an end of something, but you helped me realize, you and Warren, like, no, it's an evolving. Like Dr. Dan, like, when you went through in your life, it's easy to say, well, it was an end to something. And when now you look back down, it was an evolving.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's very tough. It's the caterpillar. Like the caterpillar, like I could sit here and say, I want to crawl on the ground. I want to crawl in the dirt. I want to eat crap off the ground. But like now when we're butterflies, it's different. We fly now. We see the world differently. But if the butterfly just focused on, man, I wish I was on the ground again. Like you're not, like it's an evolution where we need to allow ourselves to let life evolve us to that next thing that we were created for.
Yeah. You know,
that's the hero.
Let's pull back because now you're helping people with this, right? So, and this is very important as far as your happiness in life, because to your point, if you have developed this false identity, which many of us do at different times of our life, you know, that could be leading to an unhappy life, not a fulfilled life. And you know, even these identities keep us in our illness, perhaps, and from healing. So talk about some of that, right? Because, you know, there's people watching this that are identifying their, with their illness. I said, those are the people that I avoid taking on, even as my own clients. And I even doctors who say, hey, I want my life to go from here to here, my practice, I want to be fulfilled. I see a certain person who's identified with where they are in life, a certain thing. That's that false identity you're talking about. So apply it now to how this can transform their life.
Yeah, well, a lot of times when that disease strikes, you hear people say, they actually put the word my in front of it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's my name, the disease. And you personify that disease. You see the disease as becoming a victim, that this is now your thing.
Or I am.
I am.
I am a thyroid patient. I am a thyroid person. You know that. I am a diabetic. I want you to know that. I am, you know, so that's a big deal. Yeah.
You're so right, Dr. Dan. Like people, you know, when I call my program I Am Hero, and a lot of people get a little offended by the I am because they associate it with, of course, God and, you know, the ultimate truth. But the thing is, I'm like, well, aren't people using that? Yeah. Like you said it, I am sick, I am fat, I am this, I am tired. Like you're using it every day. You're speaking it into existence because you're personifying this experience. Like, I know it sucks right now if you're going through disease or crisis, but understand, what if this was an experience to a purification process to where it creates this journey of unknowns and experiences? And see, it's contrast, Dr. Dan. Without your issues right now, you wouldn't have contrast, because right now, everybody who is sick, they guarantee, I know you're very clear on what you don't want, right? So now you're clear. You're clear. I definitely don't want this anymore. But when you're clear on what you don't want, it automatically sends another focus on, well, I know now what I do want. I know, like, I want to be well. I want to be well. Not that I don't want to be sick, I want to be well. And so it actually starts to clarify your true desires of your heart. And we see that as a disease and being a victim, but we got to actually see it as, this is an experience I'm going through to help define my journey and what I'm going through and build resilience or build something where, you know, it strengthens your discipline, or maybe it puts you in an environment to start making changes, you know, you should have made. Mm-hmm. I had a really great, a very good friend of mine. He beat cancer. And he was a doctor too. He was a chiropractor. And the day he was diagnosed with colon cancer, he went back to the office and his patients were like, and he was smiling. His patient's like, well, you're happy today. And he wouldn't tell him what was going on. He's like, yeah, I'm happy today because today, you know, I really decided I need to make some changes. So he saw it as like the ability and the opportunity to start making changes he should have made a long time ago. And he beat it. Because it was just the path. He saw it as, this is an experience I'm about to go through that's mm-hmm. going to really create. Listen, guys, if you listen right now, words don't change people's lives. Experiences do.
Yeah. Chris, what are some of the things that cause us to set up these false identities, right? And how can we avoid them? And how do we get out of it?
So, Dr. Dan, you know, you have kids, and if you're listening to kids out here, so if you're a parent, you'll get this really quick. I have a 5 and 11-year-old, and when you look at kids, they are optimistic. They have huge imaginations. They're so playful. They're very faithful. They're very self-confident. They have pride. They have ego. They're proud of themselves. They're optimistic. They live in linear time. No, they live in vertical time. They're just about now. They don't live in the past or the present. When do you want to go to the park? Now. Is it now? Is it now? They are relentless. I mean, my kids have closed me 100% of the time. They're closers. They're very focused. They're playful. They're loving, man. They forgive. And the number one question our kids ask us when we tell them to do something is what? Why?
Why?
Why? Why? Why? And when they ask why, because they're trying to come to their own truths, and you look at it, like, and I remember one day I said, error in my judgment. I said, I wish I had those qualities because I would be, I could make better impact. I could be a better doctor. I could do more. Like I was saying, I wish I had those qualities, but then I realized, oh my God, that was always me. Like my kids never went to a seminar, an Anthony Robbins seminar. They didn't spend a dollar in personal development. They never read a book on it. And I realized in that moment, my epiphany is that was like all of us were innately born with those amazing qualities. And through between then and 40, through, I call it through teachers, preachers, dogmas, belief systems, society, we're told what to do and what to think. When that kid wants to express himself and raise his hand, they're said, be quiet unless you're called on. So all of society, you know, it actually, it blinds us of our vision and removes our permission to really truly express who God created us to be. And we conform, we conform to fit in, we put on this fake suit. We go by the checklist of what other people want for our lives or what the status quo wants for us. And we start living out other people's values. I need to be a doctor. I need to go to this school or that school. And then we put on this secret identity just to conform and fit in.
Right. So and how do you break out?
Right?
I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to know how they break out.
Yeah. And so the breakout is this. You could choose to live in the comfort and the torment of that secret identity. Or there comes a day, and I really believe is this, Dr. Dan, like society really trains us. As a kid, we love uncertainty. We love the unknowns. We're adventurous. So what's under that rock? What's in there? What's that? But like we're curious. But as we're being raised, we're taught to be, it's really to control us and to conform us. We're taught to stay in certainty and comfortable, such as this. Right. We know after first grade, there's second, then there's third, then there's fourth. Then we know there's middle school, and then we know there's high school. Then we're taught after high school, everybody goes college, it's certain, right? Then we know after college, we need to get some career. And then we know, hey, before 30, especially women, they were taught like their babies would be like birth defects after 30, right? Like, isn't that ridiculous? So women would start to feel, hey, I'm getting pressure. I need to get married now. So, and unfortunately that between 27 and 30, when the pressure's on, guys and girls would actually start to make that relationship they're in fit because right. It's time when maybe it wasn't the right relationship. And then they get married and they have to get married. You got to do what? Got to have kids. And so by your mid-30s, where people call it a midlife crisis, it's not a midlife crisis. It's because you checked off the boxes of life, like, hey, you're there. And then you actually have time to look in the mirror. And when you look in the mirror, you don't even know who you are anymore. You're in a 9-to-5 job with great benefits, and you don't like what you do. Your health is just Kate Rackbuck and all these other things just to get some type of distraction from your life. And you realize you're not happy because you lived a life that everybody else wanted you to live. And then that's the day, doctor, you don't know who you are anymore. And you have to make a decision. Like look the other way and just be comfortable. Or are you going to go through the very uncomfortable actually reintroducing yourself to who you are? Like, it's like, I had to look in the mirror and say, this person in the mirror is the only one I'm life with right now, and it's the only one that's going to help me through this. Mm-hmm. And I introduced to myself, and it's tough to build a relationship with yourself when you were living something that wasn't you for such a long time. And it was really reconnecting and remembering who that little kid was again and becoming childlike.
Yeah. You know, so I want you to speak to people who are stuck in their illness. Matter of fact, identifying with it, right? So, you know, I can spot these people, right? And I know that I made up a word, they're not helpable. You know, when I have a brief conversation with someone before I take them on, I'm looking for certain things they say, that it basically shows that, you know, they become not helpable because this is a safe zone. Believe it or not, they would say, Chris, and here's my fear. Most people watching this say, well, that's not me, because it's hard to identify yourself when you're in it, right? But it becomes safer, and that's what you're talking about, right? It becomes safer literally to say sick as opposed to visualizing yourself living a well life. We can't almost even visualize that self. So speak to those people watching this, because believe me, there's many of them.
Yeah, it's so right, because sometimes, and it could be on, you're right, Dr. Dan, you don't see it because it'd be subconscious, because a lot of times when you're sick, let me tell you, when you get sick, that's a good way to get a lot of good attention. You get care and love from people outside of you. All of a sudden, they care for you. They love you. They're going to pray for you. And you're getting this wonderful attention that maybe you yearn for. And so sometimes the person thinks if I get healthy, I lose this significance. Mm-hmm. I lose this love. That's one thing that could keep you sickness.
Right.
We would call that the emotional subluxation right there, right?
Yeah.
Another form, and let me tell you, I want to just speak through that. The feelings and mourning of your health is normal.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Don't let anybody tell you abnormal about that. And having good days and bad days is normal.
Totally.
I get it to where when I had the best doctors in the world tell me this is the only option, I believed that was the only option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I accepted it, you know, and that's what it was. But like I said, it took someone to tell me something that just shifted my perspective. Like, that's the thing. We're not going from 0 to 100. Like, we just need to look. If you're listening right now, here's the way out. You might be looking for 100% miracle. And I'm believing for that. I'm believing for your victory on that. But here's the thing. Instead of going for the 100% miracle, all I want you to do is what is the next easy logical step. So it might be going from hopelessness, I'm a victim, to, you know what? Maybe I'll look into that. Like, it just a little bit better feeling. Next logical step. You know what? Maybe I'll start switching out the things I eat, or maybe I'll start eliminating some of these things right now. I'll just do that one thing. Okay, and then it's the next logical step, because I know in the moment you want it gone tomorrow, but understand is what is this next logical step? Not just tactical, like a lot of the things Dr. Dan recommends, but actually like emotional. Okay, well, I'm not really a victim because, hey, listen, I have thyroid disease, but I mean, have other people cured themselves of that? Well, absolutely. Boom. See, now you feel a little bit better. You're not a victim. Because, well, there's a little bit of hope. Okay, so people have done that before. Okay, so there's a chance that I can do that. And then like, it's just the next, because you feel so bad, you're such a victim and your thoughts are in, the worst place to be is powerless or apathy and indifference. That's, you're vibrating on such a low level, you can't get up here.
Yeah.
So we just gotta get you one level up.
I did the same thing. But you know, let me personalize this, you know.
Yeah, do that. So Dr. Dan, you're out, dude. No, Dr. Dan did tell you this. As a chiropractor, it's very physical. Imagine Dr. Dan, he would adjust somebody and then have to go lay down after 15 seconds of physical activity. So you're there, Dr. Dan, you're in the back laying down. Like, and at the same time praying no one comes in, but then like you put on the face and the fake smile. Like, I know a lot of you guys put on that fake smile,
right?
Because you're suffering. So in that moment, Dr. Dan, like, you're thinking, dude, what's the next logical step from that? Like, to just get an inch forward. So how'd you do that?
You know, there's a great example here, because I became chemically sensitive massively, right? Where my life was so bad. I'd get behind a truck with diesel and I'd be wiped out, ruined my whole day, or sitting next to somebody with perfume, or walking in a room that had some mold or air fresheners, and it would wipe me out for days oftentimes. So I went to the most logical thing. I became an avoidance, right? Which is logical and true. And I believe to some degree, when you're getting well in that state, you have to avoid. But it became a survival mechanism for me. It became who I was. It became something that made me feel good at the end of the day when I avoided things, right? So your body, we set up these neurological patterns. And the only example I can give people is like, if I did get bit by a chow at one point, and I literally would avoid chows. If I saw one, I'd cross the street, because it became something that would put me into this survival mechanism. I felt my adrenaline go up. My heart rate would go up. You know why? Because my body wanted to survive another dog bite, right? So if the chow came, I either fought or flight. So no matter what, it was preparing me for that. Well, that's exactly what was happening with me with the chemicals. My body knew that these toxins were so overwhelming because my bucket was so full, that it set up a neurological pattern of releasing certain chemicals like adrenaline, cortisol. Inflammatory response would happen in my body with the smallest whiff of one chemical. Here's the problem. I got my bucket unloaded and I became healthy. But the problem was my body was neurologically running down that same pattern. That happens in every area of our life. I'm using this as my story. So what you're saying is what I had to do. All of a sudden, I had to realize this has become my life. This has become what makes me feel good at the end of the day when I'm avoiding and this and that. And it literally became who I was. It became part of my identity. I had to take it one step at a time. I remember the day I was at the gas station in I would always make sure I was at the right place so the wind would blow it. I said, no, not today. I said, you know what? This is going to be my victory today. My victory is not going to be avoidance. My victory is going to be, I'm going to stand here and smell the gas, and I'm going to tell myself how strong it's making me instead of how, you know, it's devastating me. So I had a little victory, and I felt it. I was like, you know what? I can deal with this. You know, then it was the next thing. That was the next thing. I literally had to reframe my whole life because I knew my body was well. My body didn't need to save my life anymore. I mean, our bodies will do everything to save its life. It didn't need it. I had to tell it, I'm okay now. Thank you for serving me, and you served me well, because when I was sick, it needed to do that, and it was doing me well, but now it was serving me not so well, and I had to tell it that. So it was a lot of self-talk, but it was a lot of those steps that you're talking about, one little thing at a time, one victory at a time, and all of a sudden, my day then became about those victories instead of the avoidance victory. So that's my personal experience with this, Chris, and you know, I had to change who I was, man. I did.
And so if you're listening to this, you're so right, because I like Dr. Dan's right. So watch this. I could tactically do something that's just that next step, which is good. That's the actual doing. But like Dr. Dan said, like if the shift doesn't happen emotionally, mind, body, and future, then I could, because it's, you know, I could take something or do something different in my life. But you're right. If I still have that same neurological pathway going on. Another thing, and I don't recommend you stay here long, but it may be just the very next step you guys need. If you're sitting there and you feel hopeless, apathetic, or indifferent, then actually a level that's one step above that, which is where you want to go, is anger. Because anger, there's a little bit of self-empowerment. Did you notice when Dr. Dan's like, you know what? Not today. Mm-hmm. He got pissed. Yeah. Sorry, not today. Wow. I'm going to stand in front of that freaking gas. And you know what? It's going to suck. My body might be racked, but I'm like, no. Yeah. A little bit of anger gave him a little bit of drive and power to move forward. Now, he didn't stay there, but I guarantee he did that. And what did it do to him? It brought his confidence up another level. And hope. Mm-hmm. See, it's creating momentum. So I guess, Dr. Dan, when you're indifferent, when you're victimized, when you're in apathy, there's zero momentum. It's like a stone. So how do we get a boulder rolling? And like Dr. Dan said, where I say, sometimes a little anger gets it going. Navy SEALs do that. Those guys are in freezing in the water and they're crying and they're getting scared, and they tell them, tunnel it into anger, because they know it's just the next level up. And then they build confidence. I could do this. This isn't as cold. And it creates this. But Dr. Dan, good. We're having those situations, but then explain to people when they get another down day, right? Because it's not ascending straight up. It's literally zigzagging, mm-hmm. right? Or up and down, like a sine wave. And I really think what that's doing is those rough days, I really use, Dr. Dan, I believe you did too on a level, is I used my emotional guidance system. Like the days when I knew I was feeling bad, instead of saying I'm feeling bad, I felt I'm thinking in the wrong direction. Like mm-hmm. this is not getting me there. So it was just creating more contrast. Like, so I would say I'm getting scared again. I'm getting worried again. And I was going in the pattern, like the survival mode again. And when you're scared and when you're in panic, you can't hold that and hold hope at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the next step level in thinking. So that's where Dr. Dan would be like, okay, like so Dr. Dan, you had some good days. Now on those bad days, and we know, and you know, you used prayer. We know that. So explain to us on those bad days. What were the thing? Was it something that you just kind of, those bad days just came and went, and you just kind of like maybe sat in it and let it take its course? Or were there's actually something that you would do to recognize and then get out of it? Or how was that?
You know, on the bad days, I would evaluate my thinking in that moment. And I would say, okay, how, I would try to change my belief or my premise in the moment, meaning because that's going to change your language. That's going to change your actions. That's going to change your, you know, your destiny. So it's like, I would say to myself, okay, how can I think about this different? Because I would evaluate, how am I thinking about my situation right now? And I would say, how can I ask myself a new question? You know, or it's like, because I'm asking myself questions, I'm feeling certain feelings. So I automatically say, how do I feel right now? You know, what kind of questions am I asking myself or concerned about? And how can I change that? So that's what I did, right? Because you have to take, like I said, every situation one at a time and mm-hmm. say, what is my thought? What is my belief right now? What am I thinking? And what new question do I have to ask myself? And what new thought do I have to have about the situation? And then miraculously, even the words will start to change. Your thoughts change, your words change, your life starts to change.
Dr. Dan, I just got a great download from you were talking. You just cleared it for me. Because we want to get better when? Quick, right? So I'm about to tell you something that is actually a quicker road, but you got to see how I'm taking it. There's an emotional journey, there's emotional action and journey, and there's physical action and journey. And the body is organic and it will take time. There's always time for the process of healing. So the emotional journey Dr. Dan just went through, that is a quicker action step than the actual physical manifestation of getting well. So in the moment, right? See, so in that moment, feeling bad, he took an emotional action, an emotional journey, and you could get quicker results emotionally than you would physically.
True.
Right? So just think about, so if you want results quick, it's like you're looking for this physical manifestation to be quick, and it is happening quick, not on your terms, of course, but you could get there quicker through getting that emotional journey or emotional action first, because you'll feel better or get better results quicker as this to keep you as the physical manifestation of healing is happening. Because the body heals organically, and Dr. Dan could tell you the billions of processes that are having to coordinate like a symphony to detox, to do all these things. All that whole healing process, it's mind-boggling. And, you know, it does take time, but the emotional change and action can happen very quickly.
Let me tell you something. If you watch we just got done with the Olympics, right?
Yep.
If you watch the skiers, if you saw them, if you watched all of them, Lindsey Vonn, all of them, they had this thing that they were all doing like this. They had their eyes closed and they were doing this thing. What they were doing is visualizing themselves going down the course. And that's why they inspect the course first. So they go down and they look at every bend and they know, and then they see that bend and they're doing their thing. They're doing the thing. See, because the emotion will move the physical. Mm-hmm. The emotion is the stopping point. So the coaches have trained them that if you can't see yourself emotionally getting well or going around at that certain rate, then the physical will follow. You know, so oftentimes we athletes even have certain fears, and the coaches, a good coach is going to bring you to those fears, change the way you think about the fears, and then visualize yourself not fearing, visualize yourself getting woke, visualize yourself going around the turn. So you see these athletes doing this to be the best of the best. You have to apply the same darn thing to in your bad days to have a better day, your better days to have perfect days. You have to apply that this is first, and then the body follows. And if you want to bring the physical part all the way down to the cellular level, this is Cellular Healing TV after all. You know, Bruce Lipton proved that our thoughts create, right? Our thoughts, our beliefs, our thoughts create even, like I said, the way we speak. And that creates our actions. Actions become habits. Habits become who we become, right? That becomes our destiny. You know, so it's like when we say, gosh, why do I do this? Why can't I get well? We're down here in the physical, but it does start here, just like the athletes. So this drives our self-function. It can. So if our cells aren't detoxing properly, maybe, just maybe, it's our thoughts. I would say maybe it's a part of it. The emotion moves before the physical. I think that was well said.
Yeah, and you know, really, what is a belief? A belief is a thought about something you have over and over and over and over and over again. So it's your repetitive thought about something that really creates this belief that you have. But it's not, and it becomes your truth because it's the thought you have over and over again. But it may not be the truth, such as the person who says they're sick or they're a victim of that. It's like, because that's the thought they're having over and over and over again, therefore becoming a belief of that.
It's funny because I was just pulling some notes out, right? Because I'm doing a lecture, and you know, y'all have to hear this because you have to understand how this affects you. It's your DNA. So this is what Bruce Lipton says, right? So your beliefs become your thoughts, okay? That's your subconscious. That's your record. That's what drives every physiology in your body, your health, everything, who you become. Okay, so those thoughts then become our words. So that's why I always tell my children, and so do you, it's like watch what you speak, because that will also feed back into that subconscious and you become that. Now watch what happens. Your words become your actions. Your actions become habits. Habits become your values. So we can, that's the whole new identity for that sake. And then the values become your destiny. Now you're solidly in a new person. But here's what he teaches. What happens is that actually feeds directly into your DNA. And then your DNA tells something called RNA. RNA carries a message and you develop proteins. Your very being of who we are, us, is proteins. Your hormones are proteins. Your neurotransmitters, how your brain works, are proteins. Proteins, skin, muscle. So the DNA is literally controlled first by your thoughts, your beliefs, I should say, that whole pattern. And then it changes your DNA. So that's, this is now, your thoughts are becoming who you physically literally are and how you physically function. DNA, RNA, and ultimately then your proteins. And it literally becomes flesh. It literally becomes action, hormones. Now it's how you feel every day. Do I feel motivated? Do I feel, so what I'm telling you is it starts with the thoughts, you know, and then it becomes that. So the athletes that are doing their thing, visualizing that, that becomes a physical manifestation, literally from the DNA of every cell of your body. I mean, that's some serious science, folks, but I'm telling you, you want to become a new you, you have to change the way you think about you. You have to become, you have to identify with your inner hero. I'm telling you, Chris, I mean, it's big stuff, man. And whether you're trying to change your success, your happiness, or your health, this principle is first.
Yeah, let's give them a good, let's give everybody listening or watching a good tactical step on that. Because I want them to actually do something. And this is something that I do that I think it's something they could do. And it keeps it in front of you. Like sitting there, everybody's like, well, I want to feel better. I want to get well. And that's just the thought of it, right? So that's your goal, of course. But what I do is, especially in that state, we want to keep the victory right here all the time, right? So when you're having a bad time, I need to create a new anchor. And so what I do every morning, or every day, I have like a little book pad. I don't want to say my goals. I write my desires down every morning, like first thing in the morning. Yeah. Meditate a little bit, you know, just clear my mind, write my desires down. So it's what I mean by desires, you're going to write down how you want to see yourself in the future. Like, and it's all the I ams. I am healthy. I am secure. I have potential. I have wonderful experiences. And I write this down. It's what I want. I am hero. You know, finding, I speak all around, you know, like all these things, you know, Justice and Titus and all stuff about them. And I write these goals down in the morning. I write my targets that would make today successful. So today, you know, podcast with Dr. Dan, you know, quiet time, you know, your little, that could be your protocols, whatever you do. Then I put successes. At the end of the day, I write down my successes because I want people to see that you are winning on a daily basis.
Like,
and then part of the successes are the unknowns. Like the unknown is, here's an unknown. Wow, I heard a cellular TV today that really changed my thing. It was a win. Like it was an unknown. It was, like, let's say you were having a rough time and you heard this message today and you're like, it spoke to me in the right time. Because see, I want you to be aware that God and is speaking to you all the time. I mean, like experiences are like, we're looking for this audible voice. Like everything is leading and guiding you in the right direction. But when we're not looking for it or tuned in and tapped on, you know, then we miss it. So I record, hey, I learned this from Dr. Dale. All these wins, all these things I didn't plan on. So I really see every day I'm winning. Like literally, like the universe is guiding me every day through people and audios and books. And then before I go to bed, I write my goals and desires down again to keep focused. And the reason why you write them down is because now they start to become the lens I look through. So when I'm talking to Dr. Dan, well, it's fulfilling one of my things. Look, right here, one of my goals is I attract relationships that help support the manifestations of my desires. So Dr. Dan is so we're developing, we have a relationship that's supporting the forward movement of our desire. Like, so you see, like, so when you write your goals down, then your whole day, you're actually aware and sensitive to those things that are working towards your desires.
It's intention.
And the reason why you do this every day, guys, is because you keep it in front of you. And then every day, these desires and goals change. You're like, you know what? I don't feel like starting a podcast, right? So, you know, so you don't write your goals down once. You allow them to evolve because today, after this podcast or after this cellular TV, something shifted in you. You ascended. You look at things differently, and maybe your desires shifted. So every day, from a month ago, these desires and goals changed, and you're allowing yourself to course correct, and you're getting very clear. So when I keep these things in there, and it's keeping a journal, and this helps create the momentum of getting that boulder off of your chest and getting you moving, because you're going to say, you know what? today I feel a little bit better. You know what? Today I started something new. A win today. Oh, I did this for myself. So you start to see and focus on, like Dr. Dan, the intentions that you are winning. Because it's tough. When I think I'm in a losing battle, everything is going to support that I'm in a losing battle, because that's all I see.
Yeah. So let's say you have a bad day. I mean, it's the worst day ever. At the end of the day, you're saying, well, there was no victory. Say, yes, there was. Again, you have to change the way you think and the questions you're asking yourself, because you say, yeah, gosh, but what did I learn in it? Actually, one thing I learned was this. I'm telling you, if you intentionally sit down at the end of the day, you'll realize you had more victories than you thought, even in your worst day. Because I'll tell you what, if I didn't have bad days, I wouldn't have had great days. You know, my bad days probably most likely led to more information and discovery than my great days. Matter of fact, my great days never put me in study. My great days never put me into a study that, you know, I learned something. It was my bad days every time that drove me to another level. So, but how often did I take the time at the end of the day to identify that? I definitely could have changed my outcome and my destiny a lot sooner if I would have.
You have a bad day. What happens to a bad day? It humbles you. So you could write down, I am so grateful for the health I will achieve. I am grateful for my health. I realized today how grateful I am for my health when I get it, you know, or like as I'm getting it, as I'm building it, or like today, like someday, hey, listen, the basic things you become wins. Like I got out of, for some of you, like Dr. Dan, when you were so exhausted, I got out of bed today and went here. Win. I listened to this cellular TV. Win. Like that's a win. You heard this? Yeah. Win. Like, so like you really start to realize, like I am winning daily, and this lie I'm believing is the secret identity I'm in is lying to me. And here's the thing, guys, with the secret identity, you think it's just going to go away nicely? No. It's like any other animal that fights for survival. When that animal feels it's going to die, it will fight and give it everything it has and claw its way because it's trying to protect its survival.
Until it loses hope. By the way, and that's what when you do these five things, you're basically hope's a funny thing. If you read, I'm rereading actually, Viktor Frankl, The Search for Meaning of Life. Right, I mean, absolutely unbelievable book. If you haven't read it, I mean, it will speak to you, because basically it is about that. The moment we lose hope is the moment he saw everybody dying in concentration camps. And it's written from this perspective, folks. And, you know, I never had a day that bad. Let me tell you something. I never had a day that bad. And yet it was the people who held on to hope that survived. So what this does, it by doing this at the end of the day, the beginning and your end of the day, it not only creates hope, but it's changing you, your physiology, no doubt about it. And it really sets you up for, you know, more healing, more happiness, whatever it is. I mean, listen, the same things apply if you're a doctor listening to this who want to, you know, take your practice to the next level of healing, whatever you're doing, wherever you're stuck, man, there's people stuck all over the place, because that's what we do as humans.
And it keeps the vision, because if you think about it, when you write down that vision or the desire of your heart, that's the spirit of you that knows the truth. So when you look at, like, we're told, again, you got to let go of what you were told in education society. Like when I write my things down, it's very easy to think, oh, you're just dreaming. Mm-hmm. That's delusional. But see, my spirit knows the truth, and my brain might be bamboozled by a reality that it thinks is there, but it's really not. So that inner desire is always truth. So I write my truth down, and that becomes your vision. Mm-hmm. And now when you're sick like that, you write these things down daily. So you always keep that vision in front of you.
Yeah.
And as long as that vision is there, it's like the light, it's the lighthouse, it's the beacon that's pulling you forward. Because let me tell you, that vision you write down, that's what pulls you through the tough days.
Yep. And I'll tell you, vision boards are critical, because it gives you a picture. Vision boards are actual pictures, right? You can create them on your computer or something you literally stick to your wall, your refrigerator, something you see every day. And it's a vision of you healthy. It's a vision of the home that you desire, the vacation that you haven't been able to take with your family. It's a vision of you doing that thing that, you know, would fulfill you. Yeah. Because, you know, that's another just a complete manifestation, and it makes you so intentional. So that's another suggestion I think both of us would have. So I'm creating a new one myself just for, I love to recreate this because it's another way to take me to a higher level, and I'm going to take other people with me, man. That's just who I am. Same with you, brother. So Chris, thank you for being with us, man.
Yeah, that was great stuff.
This is going to be a big share show because I'm telling you, this applies to every one of us, you know, no doubt, to go to whatever level you are, but we become stuck, man. We got to dig in for our inner hero. It's there somewhere. And that's our most authentic self, isn't it?
It always is. And everybody has to understand this line. We're all in different parts of our life, but you got to understand we're all co-creating together. And that's why you are on this line right now. We've all been through it, but we're on different chapters of the book, and all our experiences are so we could help each other. Yeah. So it's co-creation at its finest. And it is the true authentic hero. Like, remember, everything is working for your good, and it's creating the true authentic version of you.
Yeah. Love it, man. Great place to stop. So
yeah,
Dr. Chris, appreciate and love you, man. Thank you.
No problem. I appreciate you guys so much.
All right. We'll talk, man. Bye.